Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Big year up in Athens, and welcome back to the Morning Show with John and you on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Mike Griffith of Dog Nation is covering the dogs and looking at some of the storylines this spring and joins us this morning on the WaitForIt.com hotline. Morning to you, Mike.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Pretty good, pretty good. We're getting excited about some football. You know, me and John, we're kicking around this question this morning. We want to kind of bring you in on it. Is this year a make-or-break year for Georgia, or is it a reload? No, the better question was, is this a reload year, or what would you call it, John?
Is it rebuild or reload?
Rebuild or reload.
You know, neither. I think you had it right the first time. I mean, I think this is the year. I mean, you know, Jake Fromm's third-year quarterback. You bring back a 1,000-yard rusher in DeAndre Swift. Probably, hard to say, not the best offensive line in the country when you look at the depth and experience that's returning there. And then, you know, pretty good secondary, and I would say a reloaded front seven, strong front seven. This is the year Georgia should win the SEC.
Mike Griffith joining us here. Yeah, they're going to be the heavy favorites to win the East. Going to be top three. Alabama loses 14 starters. Now, I know that Alabama is, like Clemson, in reload mode. And I think that is kind of the point. Has Kirby Smart gotten with back-to-back number one classes in the nation? He's got the number one junior college rush end coming in. You know, one of the questions is Georgia now in a pipeline situation? Has Kirby put them where they're going to be set up now, Mike, year over year over year over year?
Yeah, well, I think, you know, what happens this year will have a lot to do after Clemson. I think Georgia just wishes they could have that schedule. I mean, my goodness. I mean, talk about a cakewalk. I don't even know who they, you know, what's their toughest game, you know, Texas A&M at home. But back, you know, to your point, yeah, I mean, this is a year, I think, where, you know, Georgia not only has to win the East, but win the SEC championship. And don't forget, Kirby's promoted from within for his offense and defensive coordinator positions. And this kind of puts the system on trial a little bit, right? I mean, now Nick Saban has had success doing that, but can Kirby Smart do that with James Coley and Dan Lanning? I mean, it's a very young staff, and if they do big things, look out. I mean, the dynasty's arrived, and this is what everyone's been pointing to. Last year, they narrowly missed a spot in the playoffs. You can argue, you can wonder if maybe having the Florida athletic director and the Georgia athletic director on that 13-man committee, if that played a role in Georgia getting passed over. But here nor there, they didn't make it. They were on the outside looking in. And, you know, then, of course, we saw what a dejected team does in a bowl game. Not the first time we've seen that. But, yeah, this is a really big year for Kirby Smart's program in general, and it'll carry over into recruiting.
You know, you're talking about the running back position. Georgia's stacked. We know that they're going to be all right. But Zamir White, how much do you think we could potentially see him in spring practices?
Yeah, one of the bigger question marks, Hugh, and honestly, I don't think Georgia's going to run the football a lot in spring drills, and the reason why is because they're in a reload situation at receiver. They lost four of their top five receivers to graduation or early entry, and so they're going to have to focus a lot on that passing game in the spring, and Jake's going to have to get on the same wavelength with a lot of those young receivers. Those recruiting classes now will have to pan out. Demetrius Robertson, the former five-star recruit, the former freshman All-American at Cal, didn't catch a pass last year, you know, and so we'll have to see if he's learned how to block, because, you know, Kirby, he's going to make those receivers block and play special teams, and that's going to be a real pivotal player. He could be a breakout kind of guy. So, and then to your point on the running backs, because, you know, Zamir White's coming off of two ACL surgeries, because James Cook, another five-star running back, had that foot injury late. I don't think Kirby's going to want to pound these guys a lot in the spring, because I don't know if you're really going to want to turn those guys loose for contact. You certainly don't want to beat up DeAndre Swift, who's had his first healthy offseason. Remember, last year he was coming off double hernia surgery. So I think you're going to see a lot of throwing the ball around as Jake Fromm tries to get used to those new receivers and Kirby tries to get that backfield completely healthy going into fall drills.
Mike Griffith, the Dog Nation, talking about Georgia's spring practice, which is now opened in Athens ahead of G-Day. on April the 20th, and we will be in Athens on G-Day to be broadcasting from Grindhouse in Athens. Mike, to this new coordinator situation, you have two new coordinators now, with James Coley trying to do a little bit more up-tempo and Dan Lanning taking over on the defensive side. How much of a change? What do you expect? Do we see more up-tempo? Do we see changes at Lanning's defense versus Mel Tucker's? What's going to be kind of different, or is it going to be pretty much, hey, this is the personnel, kind of line up and go?
Yeah, no, I think you got it right on Coley. You know, I do think it's going to be more up-tempo. I think, you know, what Kirby said, and he's pretty consistent in his messages, you're going to play to your team strengths, right? And when you've got a third-year quarterback like a Jake Fromm, that can read, do the pre-snap read so well, and he's so effective putting the ball where it needs to be. I mean, about the only skill Jake doesn't have is he's not maybe the most elusive guy in the world. But as far as pocket quarterback and cerebral and football IQ, I mean, he's as good as they come. And the question is, how fast can those receivers get up to speed? You know, Georgia runs a lot of option routes. They're a pro-style offense, and that requires, pretty congruent mindset between the quarterback and the wide receivers. And that's why this spring is so important. I think you'll see a lot of throws to the running backs. Now, Kirby's going to insist Georgia's always able to dictate the run. That's going to be important. But I do think you're going to see more balls coming out of the backfield to the receivers just because of DeAndre Swift's skill set and James Cook as well. And until we really see Zamir White, you know, playing with reckless abandon, you don't really know what you have out between the tackles. Maybe other than Brian Herrien, you know, kind of a blue-collar senior guy. He showed up at the Sugar Bowl, but you kind of wonder what his upside is. I mean, Brian's had 190 touches in his career, and he's never broken anything longer than 30 yards, you know, pass, return, or run. So I do think you're going to see more up-tempo. I do think you'll see more balls out of the backfield. And then as far as defense goes, Kirby Smart's the defensive coordinator, whether Mel Tucker held the title or Dan Lanning held the title.
True.
And Kirby's already gone on record saying he's going to be more aggressive with his pressure packages because he feels like he has more experience in that front seven now.
You know, it's funny that you mentioned that. You're talking about the up-tempo offense and how you're going to have to get – Jake Fromm is going to have to get used to his new young receivers. Me and John were kind of kicking this question around this morning as well. I know it's a lot that goes in there. There's a lot of intangibles, and it's all predicated on how well his season goes. But – do you potentially see Jake Fromm leaving after this year?
Yeah, quite possibly, you know, particularly if Georgia were to win the national championship. And part of it has to do with the draft class. I mean, it's a business decision, and I haven't looked that far ahead, guys. I'm sure the family has a pretty good idea what the quarterback class looks like this year and what it's projected to look like next year. And that has as much to do with it as anything. I mean, if Jake Fromm were to be the number two quarterback this year, but next year's a heavy quarterback class where he might be number five, that could be part of the business decision. If Georgia were to win a national championship, and then Jake doesn't feel like there's anything left to achieve here, that could be part of the process. And then, you know, you have to wonder, you know, how much does Jake Fromm enjoy school? I mean, Georgia's become a top 15 national public institution, and they don't cut any corners. I mean, these guys here go to classes, and that's a grind, man. I don't know if people really understand just how disciplined of a lifestyle it takes to be up for those 5:30 a.m. workouts, go to class, come back, get treatment, maybe go to another class, go to practice, hit the tutor. It's 9 o'clock at night before you know it. And on the outside, we see the glamour of the Saturdays and, you know, breaking the banner and all those fans at Sanford Stadium. But in between, it's a real disciplined and I think challenging life. Having been in the military, I've got a lot of respect for, you know, what these young guys are doing and doing it pretty well when you take a look at it, you know. And, in Georgia last year, the strength and conditioning program, everybody did it right. I mean, they didn't have the PED issue that Clemson did. I mean, what Clemson had, like three of the 20 guys, that's 15% of the guys that got tested, you know, failed that test. So, you know, nobody's cutting any corners at Georgia. That's a tough life, guys.
Mike Griffith of Dog Nation joining us live on the WaitForIt.com hotline. We're discussing the state of Georgia. He touched on some of the weaknesses, one area of weakness, or at least one area of emphasis, which is on improving at wideout. We're going to touch on another one in just a moment. But there are, Mike, areas of strength. Jake Fromm, a veteran quarterback. DeAndre Swift, one of the best running backs of the nation. Andrew Thomas, maybe the best left tackle in the nation. You certainly have a veteran kicker in Rodrigo Blankenship, who that's a safety blanket and a half. The note that you put in Dog Nation, though, about the edge guys, when you have Nolan Smith, the number one edge rusher coming out of high school, when you have Jermaine Johnson, number one edge rusher coming out of JUCO, not to mention other guys like Adam Anderson, who's was a local star in the area here coming in, who could blossom into a star, there's no reason Georgia's pass rush shouldn't take a gigantic step forward this season, is there?
I would agree with that. I mean, one of the most stunning statistics is in the last 5 years, Georgia's only had two first-team All-SEC defenders, Roquan Smith and DeAndre Baker. I mean, that's got to change. You're not going to win championships. And, you say next man up, right? But if the next man up isn't as good, I mean, that's kind of a worthless saying, depending on who the next man up is. I mean, ideally, you want to think you've got somebody right behind him, just as good. Maybe Alabama's achieved that with what Saban's done, but that's been 12 years in the making now. So it takes time to get on that role, and we're just now seeing Kirby's first full class cycle through. Well, I wouldn't say full because when you have three or four guys go pro early on them, and it's some tough positions. Just imagine if Riley Ridley or McCole Hardman was coming back. But to your point. You got to have playmakers on defense. I mean, ask yourself this, and he knows this. I mean, if Roquan Smith's there, is LSU 4-4 on fourth downs? He's that difference. He's that catalyst. You've got to have that guy in football more so than any other sport, I believe. Granted, I didn't play him at the highest level, but having observed it for 25 years and, the SEC and the Big Ten, you've got to have that catalyst. You've got to have that straw that stirs the drink, that calls everybody together, that pulls everybody tight in the huddle, that looks them in the eye and says, look, this stops here. And Georgia didn't have it last year. He was playing for the Chicago Bears. And you better believe that a guy like that makes a difference. You better believe that Roquan made a difference. And they didn't have it. They didn't have that guy that could put his foot down.
Well, that you're right. That's one thing. I mean, to Walker or to Monty Rice to be able to do that and be that guy, or maybe, somebody else that steps up on defense. But I guess what I'm more curious about is when we talk about guys like Smith and Johnson and Anderson, just on the edge thing, is it your impression that Georgia is going to take a big leap forward in terms of the amount of pressure that they can exert on quarterbacks coming off the edge?
Well, if their secondary proves capable of playing that tight man that Kirby wants to play, and he's not going to do it at the expense of giving up a lot of big plays, I'll tell you that. But he did say that they were going to bring more pressure packages, and theoretically that should free up some talent up front to make plays. I mean, last year DeAndre Walker was a one-man show.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they were near the bottom of the league, and I think they had 22 sacks as a team, and then their tackles for loss weren't much better. They played a very conservative style, so the combination of having talent and having a more aggressive scheme and trusting your secondary and coverage, that all goes together. It all has to do with the opponent you're playing. And Kirby's on record saying that he wants to change it. So, I think so. And to your point, they did recruit extremely well there. And I'll be real curious to see how this junior college player works out, because I saw another number one, a can't-miss guy a couple years ago named Jonathan Kongbo. He was the number one guy. He was a can't miss. Somebody can tell me where he's at now.
Right, exactly.
Junior college number ones don't always work out. You got to see how they fit in the system. And certainly, true freshman number ones, a lot can happen in the college game. I think it's going to have more to do with scheme and Kirby turning these guys loose.
You can follow him at Dog Nation. He is Mike Griffith. He is covering UGA, and we lean on him to be our expert in our eyes in Athens for us. And ahead of G-Day here, going to be a big spring for Georgia. And lofty expectations this year. It should be national title or bust for the Georgia Bulldogs. Thanks, Mike. Do appreciate it.
Appreciate it, guys. Thank you.